So today I want to bring a message called Living in Expectancy. But before I do, I just want to pray, commit the word to him and trust that God will speak to our hearts today. So Father, we just thank you that you are in this place. Wherever we go, that's where you are. And we just pray today that you would speak to people's hearts, that you would encourage us, that you would speak afresh, that you would give us fresh vision, fresh insight, particularly into this year, that you'd position us today to hear. We pray your anointing to be on today's word in Jesus' name. Amen. Dave, can I just give you all this? Because I can't really fit it. Thanks. So as we start a new year, I want to ask the question, what are you expecting? What are you speaking out over this year? Is it life or death? Is it faith or fear? As I've been praying about this year and praying about a message for the church for this year, I felt the Lord speak to me and say, I want you to be expectant. Be expectant for what I will do. Be expectant of my goodness that I will cause to pass by you. Whatever 2014 was, whether it was a year of celebration or whether it was one of your hardest years you've faced yet, and whatever 2015 may seem, I feel that God would encourage us to position ourselves in expectancy and faith and begin to speak life out over this year. William Carey, he was a father of modern day missions, has said, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. And if we go to the next slide, it should be on there. Expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. King David said in Psalm 5:3, in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. Do you live and wait in expectation? Do you expect God to do great things in and through you, in this church, in this nation? Or do you limit him? There was a guy by the name of A.B. Simpson, and he said, our God has boundless resources. The only limit is in us. Our asking, our thinking, our praying are too small. Our expectations are too limited. So today I want to talk about living in expectancy and how to position ourselves for this year, particularly looking at the story of Joshua, who waited in expectancy to enter the land that God had promised him. But before I do any of that, I want to look at the difference, I guess, or look at the importance of expectancy. Why is it important for us to position ourselves in expectancy? And what is the difference between that and expectations? Over the week, I've been kind of working out my PowerPoint and I was Googling pictures to make it more interesting for expectancy. So when I Googled pictures, it came up with that dog, but if you flip over to the next page, it came up with a whole bunch of pregnant women, massive women who were expecting. And it also came up with this movie, I don't know if you've seen it, What to Expect When You're Expecting. And so I guess in the next few moments, I want to talk about what should you expect when you're expecting. When you're living in expectancy, what should you expect? Why is it important for us to position ourselves in expectancy? For those that don't know, we're actually expecting in May, and that's not why I'm preaching this message. I didn't even really think about it until I started Googling. But it was funny because last week, someone came up to Dave and he said, I hear you're an expectant dad. And Dave's quite good at acting, I guess, and he's like, what? Expectant dad? What are you talking about? Are you calling my wife fat? And this poor guy started to go bright red. And I don't know if you even told him. So if you're out there and you're still embarrassed about what you said, don't worry, he was pulling your leg. But I think pregnancy actually gives a good analogy for what it means to live in expectancy, because it's this picture of you're waiting. You're waiting with an anticipation of what's to come. It's more than just wishful thinking. It's a joyful anticipation of what's to come. But the Bible doesn't actually use the word expectancy. I couldn't find it, but it does use the word hope. And that's really the same thing. So when I talk about expectancy today, I'm really talking about hope, living in hope. And I guess when we think of hope, what it conjures up is something that we really, really want, but we actually don't know whether it's going to happen or not. I'm hoping something will happen, but I'm actually not really sure. But the biblical word for hope actually doesn't mean that. It's not some kind of wishful thinking that if you think really, really hard, it's going to happen. It actually means to have a confident expectation of good. It's not based on feelings. It's based on the character of God and the word of God, that he is good no matter what. And I think sometimes we're scared to expect, or we're scared to expect too much, because what happens if nothing happens and I'm disappointed? Or what if I'm being presumptuous and discontent? Aren't I meant to be content with whatever happens? And yes, we are, but we shouldn't confuse contentment and humility with lowered or no expectations in life. Because God wants us to be expectant, because it's the breeding ground, I believe, for faith. Hebrews 11 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. To have faith, you have to have hope. You have to have expectancy. It's the launching pad, or the breeding ground for miracles and breakthrough. And you only need to go to the Gospels to see this is the case. So all throughout the Gospels, Jesus responded to the faith of the people. In fact, in one part of the Gospels, it said that Jesus could not perform miracles because of the people's lack of faith. When we're expectant, when we're living in expectancy, it's almost like we have an open spirit. We come to God with an open spirit, ready to receive whatever he has. If you think about a farmer who sows seeds, he sowed seeds with an expectation of seeing a harvest. So if he didn't expect a harvest, he wouldn't go through all that pain and through all that time of actually sowing seeds. He's expecting a harvest, and then he has to wait. He waits and he waters, waiting for his harvest. And on the surface, it may look like nothing's happening. But then suddenly, out of nowhere, shoots forth life. And sometimes that can be, we can have this expectancy that God is going to do more than we could think or imagine. But there's a period of waiting, and in that waiting, it looks like nothing's happening. But expectancy is actually, you're sowing seeds of faith, and it's under the ground. It's in that place where you can't see that God begins to work. And then suddenly, out of nowhere, shoots forth life, shoots forth promises. In fact, as I began to listen to people's stories about this year, I see that he's already began to do that, that as they've sowed in faith and as they've sowed in expectancy, this year suddenly things are beginning to spring out of nowhere. I just want to share a few testimonies. It's really three in one. My sister, my brother-in-law, and a close friend of mine had been praying for a long time for their husband or wife to come. And for all of them, it's been this journey of faith and patience as they waited for God's promises. Anyway, this year, all three of them get married. In fact, one got married a few weeks ago, and it's so exciting for them to see, you know, it was a long time of expectancy, of waiting in faith and patience, but God is bringing that to fruition. Another example, a work colleague had been renting for 12 years, and a few years ago, God really challenged her about writing down her desire and her vision of owning their own home. So by faith, she wrote it down, then left it with God. This is the year she moves into her brand own home. Or the whole family move into their own home. Dave and I were told that we probably couldn't have another child naturally outside of a miracle. And this is the year that we meet our miracle baby. What are you expecting? What are you speaking out over this year? So God wants us to live in a place of expectancy, because it breeds faith. And that is what breeds miracles and breakthrough to see. But expectancy is very different to expectations. And I think this is where we sometimes get confused. Expectancy is based upon God's character and his goodness, which doesn't change, whereas expectations are things that we think up of how we think God's goodness should be outworked in our life, when often we have no idea. To give you an illustration of this, we all know the story of Elijah. So in 1 Kings 19, God says, I will pass by. My presence will pass you by. What I want you to do is wait on the mountain. So Elijah goes and he waits on the mountain in expectancy for God to move. But God did not move how he expected. The Bible says God did not come in the fierce wind, that God didn't then come in the earthquake, God didn't come in the fire, but God came in the gentle whisper. So we can have an expectancy, but at the same time God's asking us to let go of our expectations. When a farmer sows, he's expectant of a harvest, and if he sows orange seeds, he's expecting orange trees. Yet he does not know what the seasons will do or the obstacles he'll face. The people in the Bible were expecting the Messiah, but the Messiah did not come how they expected. The Messiah did not come as this powerful king. He came as this gentle baby. Oswald Chambers says, always be in a state of expectancy and see that you leave room for God to come in as he likes. See, when we have rigid expectations of how we think God will do something and when we think he'll do it, we create this box. And God doesn't live in a box. What ends up living in the box is us. And we become restricted and limited and frustrated and disappointed because we've made it very rigid to how God's going to work. And then what we end up doing is we end up standing in judgment of God about why he didn't do what we thought he would do. Expectancy is not based on human assumption or wishful thinking. It's based upon his character and his word. I think it's in Proverbs 16:9. It says, in his heart a man makes plans, but the Lord determines his steps. It doesn't say don't plan, but it is saying make room for God. Don't hold your plan so tightly. Be expectant, but let go of expectations. It's kind of almost contradictory, but it's not. I think for some people, some of you have got plans. You've set out your year and you've planned it out and it's good, but I feel like God would actually come and hijack some of your plans this year, and he wants us to be prepared for the unexpected. Because our plans often are so much more limiting than what God wants to do in and through us. So he wants us to remain open and expectant of whatever he may bring, trusting that he is good no matter what obstacles we face. I remember in 2014, both Dave and I started the year very weary, disappointed, broken. We'd been praying for a child since 2012, and God had made it very clear to us that he would answer us. So we had this expectancy and this hope, but he told us early on that it would come by faith and patience and asked me to surrender my timing and my plans. And so I thought that meant a maximum of 6 months. So I was willing to wait 6 months, but now 2 years had passed. And for a variety of reasons, which in 2014, nothing was still happening. We'd been to specialists and doctors and they'd said, it's not good, and gave us the medical reasons of why it wasn't happening. But basically, I'd shifted from expectancy and hope to a bunch of rigid expectations of how and when God would answer. And so in January 2014, I was fed up. And that's just the mild word to describe how I felt towards God. Anyway, God is so gracious even when we're not. And we then came around to March, and it was the night of my graduation. I was graduating from counselling, and a friend had offered to have Isaac for the night, but the condition was we had to go to their church the next morning. Anyway, she said that they had a guest speaker that week, and he had a gift of prophecy. And I remember thinking, Lord, it would be so, I so need a word from you right now. I need to hear what you're saying about this situation. See, God had given us lots of words, but every time we got a word, we then got contradictory results. So I constantly felt I needed reassurance to know that he was still hearing us. But then I felt bad. I was like, I shouldn't put my hope in a word. I should put my hope in you. But I felt God say to me, no, I want you to come expectant. Anyway, the next morning, Dave and I had this massive fight. A lot of it stemmed from our disappointment, but whatever the reason was, I wouldn't say that we were at our holiest when we came to church that morning. Good thing that God is a God of grace and doesn't work depending on sometimes where we're at. So after worship, the couple just began to minister at the church prophetically and point people out and give them words. And during that time, God began to speak very clearly to my heart and said, I'm going to resurrect these bones from death to life. I want you to prophesy over the bones based on that passage in the Old Testament. So I was just kind of in my place with God, and all of a sudden I heard you in the floral dress with your eyes closed. And I looked up, and there this lady is pointing straight at me and says, you. And God has a word for you. And her and her husband then began to, in a lot of detail, basically tell our situation, where we were at and what God was going to do. And I remember her saying, I'm just going to share a little bit about it. She said, God sees your tears and you're crying over something very specific. But if you would just give that thing to him, surrender it, he would breathe life over it. The enemy has tried to destroy your life and you've been like this grub in the dark, struggling to get out of the cocoon. But it's over. And she just kept repeating, it's over, it's over. And it's interesting because I'd had many words about I was in darkness before and now was a season of light. But that was back in 2012. Sometimes God takes his time, doesn't it? And then she said, now it's a season of light. And then we were told to go and have a wild weekend away, which everyone roared with laughter. So apart from feeling embarrassed, we actually felt so encouraged. And Dave reckons I should go and tell you. So we did. We obeyed the word. But we didn't. We were still fighting. Anyway, we getting distracted. Moving on. That's why I always read my notes, because then I embarrass myself. So anyway, we were so encouraged and our hope and our expectancy was renewed once again. In fact, because they recorded the word, we played that word over and over again to just keep our hope and expectancy up. Anyway, the following month we went back to the specialist and we were expecting, again, expectations, we were expecting a good report. But the report came back the worst than we've ever had. And he basically said, there is no natural option apart from a miracle. You'll have to do IVF if you want even a chance of this. We were hit, like we were so disappointed. And I was like, God, what on earth are you doing? And God gave me a scripture and he said, even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. Do not fear bad news. It came from one of the Psalms. So anyway, good thing God isn't worried about obstacles. And in fact, he often uses obstacles as an opportunity to perform miracles. So we got to May and it was the day before Mother's Day and we were discussing what we should do. Should we do what the doctor said? Should we just continue to wait and expect for God to move? And we decided based on everything we'd got from God that we just needed to keep trusting him and waiting to see what he would do. We were convinced that God had said to us that he would do it through a miracle. So anyway, the next day and the next few days, God began to speak very clearly to us that he was indeed going to perform a miracle. In fact, I was felt to listen to this church service online that week. And it was actually their Mother's Day message. And the title of the message was called Birthing the Impossible. And he talked about how sometimes God gives us promises, but then he bursts it through impossible situations. And he then said, I don't usually do this, but I want all mothers, because it was Mother's Day, all mothers to stand up. But all those that want to be mothers and have been told that you can't have any more kids naturally or any kids at all, to stand up. So in my bedroom, I stood up and joined in with the congregation. And he began to pray and he said, I believe that there will be people standing here by... Sorry, I'm getting emotional now. Someone said, will you cry? I said, no, I won't cry. There will be people standing here by Mother's Day next year who were told you couldn't have any more kids with babies. And anyway, I held that word loosely and I was trying to be expectant but not have expectations. And the next month, my friend gave me a word and said, I believe you'll be pregnant by August. And again, I held that word loosely because we'd been given times before and they'd come to nothing. But secretly, I was hopeful and expectant that God would answer us quite soon. Anyway, we got to August and I got extremely sick. And it looked like there was no way of God answering that at all. And to say I was disappointed was the minimum. I was just so... I'd been fine, but I was so angry at him that, you know, he would get my hopes up once again and then leave me broken. But anyway, early September came. And the morning that we found out my grandma had passed away was the morning that we found out we were expecting a miracle baby. And the amazing thing was that I'd fallen pregnant in August and I'm due 5 days before Mother's Day. that's just basically a glimmer of what God, the journey that God brought us on, the amount of times that he spoke to us. And that 2.5 years was incredible. And I don't tell you this so that you can all come and rub my belly and make a big deal of it. In fact, I'd rather you not. and I was really praying, Lord, do I share this? But I felt God just want to encourage you today that he wants us to live and he wants us to wait in expectancy. And whatever obstacle you face, it's not the end. It's often opportunities for God to move miraculously. But he wants us to surrender and let go of rigid expectations of how and when we think God's going to move. So in our final time, I want to look at the story of Joshua. And he was told 40 years, so we go to Joshua 1, but 40 years prior to that, he was told that God was going to give them the land. And... in Numbers 13, if we give a bit of context into it, God told Moses to send out 12 spies into the land that he was giving them and to scope out the land. And as we know, 10 came back with a negative report because they fixed their eyes on the obstacles. But 2, Joshua and Caleb, came back with a spirit of expectancy and faith that God would surely answer them. And because they spent 40 days... scoping out the land, God said, you now have to wander 40 years, 1 day for every year, 1 year for every day. You need to wait. And all those, and basically the 10 spies and everyone, I think was it under 20 or over 20? One of the ones all missed out on the promised land and only Joshua and Caleb and the other half of the people got to see it. So we now come forward 40 years. And you can imagine the excitement and the expectancy. Finally, the waiting is over. God is telling them that in 3 days they will enter their promised land. So let's have a look at the text. It says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised Moses. And then he lists all the places. Then in verse 5, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land your Lord, your God, is giving you as your own. And we'll just leave it there for now. I'll look at that verse later. So we just jump forward. So I just want to talk about what they were called to do in order to possess the land. They were told to get their supplies ready in expectancy and anticipation. And there's 5 things I want to look at today just briefly, because I believe that God is encouraging us to also, take that on as we position ourselves in expectancy for a new year. So the first thing was, don't dwell on the past. So you just have to keep going forward. Yep. Moses is dead. See, Moses represented the old season, but there was a new season coming, and God was saying, get ready. Get ready to cross the Jordan River, because in 3 days you're going to take it. And I feel like that's a really important part, is that we're not to dwell on the past. So I don't know what kind of year you had last year, or what kind of years. It may have been a great year, and you kind of live in that, you kind of hold on to that. But God doesn't want us to camp in last year. He wants us to celebrate it, but then move on into a new year, into a new season that he's doing. Or you may have had a really hard year and you just want to forget about it, and you've been disappointed by last year. Whatever it is, I feel like God's saying it's a new season. It's a fresh season coming, to let go of the past. There's a verse in Isaiah that says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up, do you not perceive it? I believe that God wants to blow afresh on his people today, to give us fresh vision, fresh hope, and a fresh expectancy for the year that's not dependent upon previous years, but is dependent upon what God is saying specifically for you for this year and for this church. That was the first thing. The second thing was, if we get to verse 7, do the word, obedience. It says, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you, so that you don't depart from it right and left, that you may be successful wherever you go. So the thing about the word is that it grounds us. It stops us from being distracted and kind of being wishy-washy and even double-minded and confused. For us personally, the word of God was the thing that kept us encouraged and strengthened. And we had to really step out in faith and obey what we felt God was saying, even if it didn't make sense in the natural. See, they were told to obey everything in the word. And if we go back to the 12 spies, the two that were different was Caleb and Joshua. And in Numbers 14, it said, none of you will enter it except my Caleb servant, who has a different spirit. It was a spirit of faith and confidence in God, and follows me wholeheartedly. So we serve a God of grace and not good works, but I believe that obedience to God is what positions us for seeing breakthrough in our lives. The third thing was, they were called to dwell on the word, not obstacles. So in verse 8 it says, always keep it on your lips. Meditate on the word day and night. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And I feel like that's a real prophetic word for some of you today, that God is saying, do not be afraid. Be strong and courageous. Don't be discouraged, for I'm going to be with you wherever you go. There was a story I read about a man who approached a Little League baseball game one afternoon, and he asked a boy in the dugout what the score was. The boy responded, 18-0, but we're behind. Boy, said the spectator, I bet you're discouraged. Why should I be discouraged, replied the little boy. We haven't even got up to bat yet. He had a different perspective. And I know that's a really probably lame story. I couldn't find anything else. But the point is, what are you dwelling on? Are you dwelling on obstacles or are you dwelling on the Word of God? So Joshua was told to meditate on the Word of God, and hopefully they had all learnt their lessons from the 12 spies, that they needed to dwell on what God said rather than what seemed. They needed to dwell on what God said rather than what seemed. And when we dwell on the Word, that's where we find our strength, our courage and our faith for the journey ahead. See, God never promises obstacle-free journeys. God's goodness is displayed through obstacles and when there are no obstacles. But the key is the Word, is what we're dwelling on. Isaiah 40:31 says, "But those who wait for the Lord, who expect, look for and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and power. They shall lift their wings and mount up close to God as eagles mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint or become tired." As you dwell on the Lord, as you dwell on the Word, Jesus, and his Word, the Bible, you have strength and power for the journey. What do you dwell on? When life goes not according to your expectancy or your expectations, what do you dwell on? Do you dwell on what seems or what God says? See, what we dwell on will determine what we dwell in. What we dwell on will determine what we dwell in. The 10 spies dwelt on all the difficulties and all the obstacles about why they couldn't go into the land that God had given them. And they gave a fearful report, and consequently, because of their unbelief, they did not dwell in the promises that God had given them. Whereas Joshua and Caleb, we know, came back with a positive report because they dwelt on what God said rather than what seemed. I believe that God's calling us to see and speak with eyes of faith past the obstacles of life into what he sees. See, there will always be obstacles and there will always be opportunities. In life, there's always both. But what are you going to choose to focus on? See, God sees obstacles very different, I've learnt, to us. He sees them as pruning tools in growing our faith and releasing his power so that it's about him and not about you. The next thing that they were needed to do was they had to declare the word. So what we dwell on determines what comes out of our mouth. Psalm 16:8-9 says, "I kept my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure." So there is power and there is, there's power of life and death in the tongue. However, what we say comes from the heart, the spirit that we have. And Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit. They had a spirit of faith and confidence because they dwelt on what God said. And therefore, their declaration was one of life. Often you'll find that if someone's very negative or they often speak negatively or declare negatively, it comes from a spirit of fear. See, a spirit of fear in the 10 spies led to a negative declaration. That led to a diminished view of self. So they saw themselves as grasshoppers. And then that discouraged others, and everyone else felt like grasshoppers, and fear spread through all the people. Whereas if you have a spirit of faith, it leads to a positive declaration and promises fulfilled and encourages other people. So our declaration will either shrink people or they'll build them up. And we can't control what happens in our lives, but we can control the state of our spirit by what we choose to meditate on. And out of our spirit speaks life or death. What are you declaring and speaking out over this year? And I really want you to listen to what you say. So God's really been convicting me about this because I'm naturally a bit of a pessimist and I'm married to an optimist. So we can clash a little bit. And I've been really challenged to watch my words, to watch what am I imparting and speaking and sowing into people and into the year. The last thing they were called was to do unto others, helping others to find rest. And we haven't looked at this, but in verse 12 to 15, it talks about how it says, but to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua said, remember the command that Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you after he said, the Lord your God will give you rest by giving you this land. And then, so he talks about God's already given you land, but what I want you to do is go ahead. All your fighting men ready for the battle must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites who don't have the land yet, and you're to help them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land. After that, after you've helped your brothers and sisters, then you can go back and occupy your own land. And I love this part of the story because they had already got their land. They didn't really need to do anything else but to rest. But God was calling them to go out and help others to also find that rest and to also find that promised land. And once they did that, once they fought and once they helped conquer, then they could go back and enjoy what God had given them. And I think sometimes, you know, we're all at different places, and sometimes we're at a place where we are seeing God's promises fulfilled and we're enjoying it and we're resting, and we can forget about everyone else that, you know, is not there yet or who is struggling to have hope and who is struggling to live in expectancy. So the amount of times that people from even this church and from others that carried Dave and I when we had no hope, so they carried us in hope through prayer and encouragement when we had nothing, was what I believe part of what got us through. And I believe that Lord is challenging us that we need to help carry people as well through prayer, through encouragement, you know, through fighting for something with someone in prayer. Be encouragers of others. Don't just think of yourselves. So what is God calling us to do this year? He's calling us to live in expectancy. And if I can have the worship team up, please. He's calling us to position ourselves to be people that are expectant and not to limit him, not to let our rigid expectations of how and when we think God's goodness will be outworked in our lives. And the ways in which we can do that is don't dwell on the past. Do the word, obey it. Dwell on the word rather than obstacles. Declare the word. See, God challenged us to begin to declare. Like, I think it was a couple of weeks before we fell pregnant, God began to say, I want you now to begin to thank me. It's already happened, and I want you to change from praying to praising and begin to see yourself holding your baby in your arms and begin to thank me as if it already were. And it was a declaration of faith, and I believe that was part of the key. God wants us to declare and to speak life out over ourselves. And the last thing was do unto others. Look for opportunities to support others in their journey. So we're going to come to the last song, and I don't know where you're at for this year. I don't know what the year looks like for you. But I really feel like God, when I was praying about, Lord, what is it you want to do today? I felt God say, I want to lift off expectations that aren't of me, of people. I want to lift them off, and I want to put a spirit of expectancy in people's hearts today. A spirit of faith, a spirit of excitement of what I'm going to do. That you're not to base it on the past. This is a new day. This is a new season. And I'm not saying there's going to be no obstacles, but God says that I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to give you courage. I'm going to give you faith to deal with whatever comes your way, because I am with you always. You know, that's our story. That's, you know, Joshua's story. God wants to make it your story. So I'm going to ask you, if you need fresh encouragement today, if you just need fresh vision, fresh strength, fresh expectancy, I'm going to ask, just as we're singing, for you to come forward. And I felt God say, I want people that are already there to go ahead and help those people find rest. And so if you're already at that place, you know, where you're so full of faith and confidence You know, we're not perfect, but if you're already at that place, you feel like God's given you a sense of something for this year, I want you to come and just stand with your brothers and sisters and support them in prayer. And we're going to pray and believe that God's going to release an expectancy in people's hearts. God says, I will do, what does he say? Basically, that he would do beyond what we could think or imagine. Don't limit him. Don't let your past experiences limit him. God can do all things. Nothing is difficult for God. So, Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you as we come to a new year that we would position ourselves in expectancy. Lord, that we would declare your word, what you say over this year, not what seems. And Lord, whatever we face, that we would not be deterred by that. We would not be detoured by that. But as we look at your word, that would keep us, our eyes fixed and our path straight. Encourage your people today. Strengthen them. I pray that you begin to speak afresh to people. Lord, that you begin to blow afresh on people, Father. That as we step out in faith and we sow and we speak in expectancy, that you would blow your life on that seed and cause life to spring up. We thank you that you're a good God, that expectancy is based on your character and your word that never changes. Release your spirit, release a different spirit in this church today, a spirit of faith, a spirit of confidence in you. In Jesus' name, amen.